Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass, and this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Mike and Bo have a tough job coming up. They got to pick out the good, the bad, and the ugly from Sunday's game. But here's what you need to know before you head out. The Hawks lost to the Bulls last night, 128-123. They'll play the Nets tomorrow. Freddie Freeman did it again. World Series is now 2-1, Dodgers ahead of the Blue Jays after Freddie Freeman walked it off. The 18-inning game, final score was 6-5, only took 6 hours and 39 minutes. They got to play again tonight. Game 4 is at 8 o'clock. All right. Frustrating loss on Sunday. Falcons, Dolphins, they beat us 34-10. Mike, obviously, with your years playing with the Falcons, you've got lots of experience analyzing film. Bo, same with you. You working with the team, traveling with them for over a decade now. Let's get into it. What was, and I know this was probably the toughest part of it, what was the good?
That it's over, maybe, and we don't have to experience it. I mean, I struggled with this a lot.
There's your silver lining.
I mean, yeah, I struggled with this a lot because I just, I even thought players had good games in certain aspects and then didn't, and then were debacles in others. Mike, I think I know what yours is, and I agree with it, so I didn't want to take it. But, like, you and I were talking, and we talked about Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
And I thought Kyle Pitts was absolutely unstoppable in the passing attack. On the other end, go back and watch his blocking film, and it was probably one of his worst performances of the year. If you shoved me in a corner and said, you cannot come out of this corner until you pick a good from the Falcons game, I would say, okay, Parker Romo. Made his extra point, made his field goal. He's hit back-to-back weeks. He's
Fair
been
enough.
Perfect on those, regardless of the fact that you've lost both games and scored 10 points, and he's got 4 in each. He's 10-10 and then 4-4. That would be it. And you'll hear me out. I don't know what his distance is right now. I don't know what their comfortability is. But I will say that the last couple of weeks, I feel better. Dylan, stand up, go knock on the door, which is wood. Knock on wood. I feel a little bit better about him when he's time to roll out there.
Yeah, I can confirm he did knock on the door.
That's all I got. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, you know what I was going with. I think I'm going with Brandon Dorlus. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times when you look at the scheme that we run defensively, you look at the ability to kind of hold up to double teams, take on single blocks, not get driven back. Brandon Dorlus, and it's worked to his favor. He's just opted out of that at times. He's like, no, I'm not getting double teamed. Swim move. You fall on your face. I'll be in the backfield. And I think that was a big concern coming into the year is like how you can hold up against the run. We have to find players that can play that penetrating style of defense that we've talked about under Jeff Ulbrich. And it's been hard to come by. I think TQ Graham was awful. I think he was awful this past weekend. And I also think he was put in some tough situations. But Brandon Dorlus absolutely fits that scheme to where he can find a way to skinny his shoulders, kind of dip and rip, and get into the backfield and make plays. So he was my good, and that was I'm with you. It was a struggle to try to find one.
I got two things about that I want to ask you real quick. First off, I had questions about Dorlus playing in the interior. I didn't think he was. I thought he was too light, and I didn't know if he could be physical enough to do that at 6'3", 295. I think he has. The thing about TQ having a bad game was, And you can tell me this because I haven't watched it close enough to identify it. Was he put in bad situations because he was asked to do things that Zach Harrison normally does for this team? And so maybe he was a little out of position. I'm not blaming the staff.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. You got to step the blank up as a player at times. But I'm just saying, was that maybe why it looked like a little bit rougher of a product for him on the film?
Possibly. And I don't know that Zach Harrison would have had, you know, any success in some of the situations TQ's would. Just for instance, we've talked about the bear front, the five down front, where you got a nose guard and you got two B-gap players. Well, with Miami going heavy, right, you're adding a jumbo tight end. You're adding maybe a fullback, maybe a tight end outside the jumbo. We didn't shift the front at all. So now TQ, and you can see it coming, he's playing the B-gap, and he's going to have to cross the tackle's face and play and make a play on the outside of the tackle. And that includes an extra lineman and an extra tight end. And all of a sudden, you're fighting through all this traffic, and he's just getting dumped off by these guys. This double teams of him trying to play one gap over, it's just not who he is. He's a guy who anchors down. He turns the hips. He takes on the double teams. Him trying to play gap over and stunt and all this stuff is just not his game. And so maybe Zach Harrison would have, you know, a better result if he's asked to do that in a similar situation. But again, the scheme says that, hey, we've got two B-gap defenders. Doesn't matter how many gaps are outside of you, even though there's five blockers outside of you until you get to the edge player. So I don't know. I'm sure they'll make adjustments to that this weekend and see what happens. But Zach Harrison was definitely sorely missed, I'll tell you that.
Let's move on to the bad. Mike, you start with this one.
I'm going to say sustaining blocks. And I think that so much we talk about wide zone. It's finesse play. I understand why guys enjoy kind of blocking that scheme. If you can get your head to a certain placement, then all of a sudden you're asking the defense to kind of keep gap integrity and fight outside of your hat placement, and they all have to kind of move as one unit. We didn't sustain anything. We're not getting our hands on anybody up front, even when we are blocking the right people, which was kind of few and far between when we were running wide zone and the few runs, you know, run plays we did have. We weren't sustaining anything. Those guys at the point of attack are simply peeking in the backfield, shedding the block, and they're all flowing to Bijan Robinson when he has the ball in their hand. And obviously, I'm not going to sit here and pile on Zach. That's not what today is going to be for. I don't have him as the ugly either. But I think there's some things that can be done schematically to help. But in the end, the offensive line's got to do a better job. That's what your job is, sustain blocks. When they try to come off the block, you put these guys on their back, and we weren't able to do that at any point in this game. And I'm not talking about just the offensive line either.
The offensive coordinator's job is to put the offense in good situations. Now, it's a collaborative effort when you come up with a game plan. Like, Zach Robinson doesn't go in an office and close his door and put on film and say, figure it all out by himself. His running backs coach, his wide receivers coach, quarterback, those guys, probably Raheem, and if he's not, maybe hop in there a little bit more. But it's a collaborative effort to put a game plan together. And then you're being told what you're seeing and all during the game, right? Playing, calling plays. Hey,
sure,
they're doing this, if you know. And so, but then that's on Zach. The thing that I say about Zach's job is what his job is to do is to find new wrinkles to keep them off balance, just like they're doing the same with you. So I think I get what you're saying, but the reality is no matter what, if I tell you to go do something, or I tell you this is a play we're running, you need to go out there as a guy that's making millions of dollars and go execute it the best you can. And I don't think we did it at all up front. And my bad was very in line with yours. It was the blocking of the tight ends.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't want to pick on either tight end because I think that they've been absolutely out of this world so far this year. For the most part, Charlie Warner's got a dirty ass job, man, because there is no, he's essentially a fullback, but he's also an extra offensive lineman, and he doesn't get any benefit. He doesn't even get to be the quarterback sneak guy when the tight end do it.
I agree.
But he didn't play very well.
No, he did not.
He got blown up at the point of attack at times. There's one play where he's going into what I believe is the A-gap right in between Lindstrom and Neusel there, right? And he trips over, it looks like, one of them.
That was early in the game, I remember that.
And falls on his face and whammy.
I think that might have been the first or second play of the game.
That guy blows Bijan up in the backfield.
Yeah.
And he gets that block, Mike. Bijan might have a 15, 20-yard scamper.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree.
And Pitts again, was bad, too, at the point of
attack. I promised myself we wouldn't go into Zach Robinson a million times in this conversation, but if you're Charlie Warner, you're looking at the sideline now because he's on the sideline. You're going, dude, can we just have one play where the ball's not going right behind me? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It would be great if they're not teeing off on me knowing exactly what's going on.
I think the problem is here. You don't have a fullback on this roster at all. Yep. Charlie Warner is your fullback.
Yeah.
So I think fans say, well, every time Charlie Warner does this, that's where the ball goes. And I understand the frustration because they're like, oh, it's predictable. But I also look back and I go, yeah, it is. But he's also the fullback. And that's kind of where he's a lead blocker. And that's kind of where now in the motion stuff.
I was gonna
say
they could use him as a slicer. There's a lot of things.
I agree. But like at times, it's not because I think at times it gets caught up in that, and I don't think it's because they knew where Charlie Warner was going. I think sometimes it's because there's other guys up front that didn't do their job, not just Charlie Warner. And as you know, as a play kind of goes, immediately it hits. It's not like 11 guys saw Warner and just all converged right and funneled it. It's normally
I would make the argument they are. That's what I would say. I think they're absolutely doing that on defense.
I think if they're able to get there that quickly, they're also already stacking it up, and you've got to figure out how to. I do believe that you can counter out of that with some pass plays, and get some things moving. But
I
the
agree
reality
with that.
Is, when they're stacking the box, you've got to be able to throw in those looks, not just in the looks where Warner's moving.
All right, we got to move on to the ugly. What is your ugly?
Well, the ugly is another part of the offense. I thought Kirk Cousins in the passing game, like going back and watching the tape, granted, I said this, I have a lot of issues with what the playbook is. I think you can do a lot of things to help Kirk Cousins out. As a matter of fact, the two times you did kind of utilize the play action fakes in the backfield, you get a long strike to Kyle Pitts, and then you get a pass interference call on Darnell Mooney. But I'll add the wide receivers into this. Even when they were making catches, it wasn't like they were running open. And that's a lot of scheme, but it's also a lot of ability to actually get open and cover. Like, everything was contested. Everything. And Kirk didn't do a good job of reading the coverages, I don't think. I don't think there was a great mesh with the game plan. And the wide receivers were not doing their part at all without Drake London on the field. And it was obvious.
Yeah, mine was Cousins completely. Like, I just thought everything he did was bad. I'll further it. Like, I thought henpeck one little thing, which was like the fact that his decision making on money downs, third and fourth down, was awful.
Awful.
Awful. You're in a fade route to Kadarrell Hodge on fourth and four. That couldn't have. I'm sorry. You can moan, complain and moan and Zach Robinson. There's no way in hell Zach Robinson's like, yeah, it's fourth and four. Let's throw a fade route to Kadarrell Hodge against a 6-2 quarter. There's no doubt. Now, there was other plays in there. I think that was Kirk's decision. Just like on the David Sills, if you go back and look, I'm not completely smart to see this, but I talk to people that are. That looks like an option route that he ran against a man coverage.
Yeah.
And Cousins threw what would have been the zone read on that. So that's just not.
I looked at that and thought that he was trying to make a back shoulder play, but I'm with you on that. Well, there was something off for sure.
I mean, it just, and I'm talking about one of the comeback of Sills where he comes back and he throws it over the top down the field.
Awful.
Like, I just thought that your third down decision making and fourth down decision making was so bad. And it really cost you at times.
Yeah.
If you have your own good, bad, and ugly, we welcome it. Tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. We'll address it there. And coming up, Lamar Jackson will make his return, and we'll talk about what else is going on around the NFL. That's next on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
College football is off and running, and no one has the sport locked down quite like the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join me, Chip Patterson, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott 5 days a week as we get you set for each weekend with breakdowns and best bets. Then recap all the action on Saturday night and tell you what you need to know about the rankings and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.